Good morning. This is Sunday, November 12th, 10:15 a.m. here in North Carolina. And we are continuing our study of the nature of error. And we're going now to this book called A Parenthesis in Eternity. And we're on chapter 10, Reality and Illusion. I consider this one of the most important chapters or talks ever given. Why? Because this is the whole thing right here. So let's just jump right in. To recognize that we live in two worlds, the world created by the five physical senses and the world of consciousness, is to bring ourselves closer and closer to illumination. Now, what does that mean? That means once you recognize that the world that you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is the world created by the senses, and you realize that consciousness has formed itself as the real creation, then you're getting closer and closer to spiritual discernment, which is going to be mentioned several times in this chapter. In the first chapter of Genesis, he says, God made man in his own image and likeness without any help from anyone. This pure spiritual birth, this immaculate conception, is God manifesting and expressing himself and his qualities. Consciousness revealing itself as form. This is pure, unadulterated spiritual creation. The immaculate conception of man and the universe. God, the infinite life, expressing itself individually without any material forms, processes, or systems. Now, this is very interesting because if you look at this, he's talking about in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Alright, so he says it was consciousness revealing itself as form. And in the very next sentence, he says, God expressing itself without any material forms. So the first sentence says, God revealing itself as form. And then the next sentence says, God expressing itself without any material form. What is he saying? What does this mean? It means there is consciousness formed, but we don't see that. We see material forms. So keep that in mind as we go on. In the second chapter of Genesis, God not only creates, but he miscreates. And because of his mistakes, he has to do it over and over again. This man of earth, the natural man who is not under the law of God, neither indeed can be, He is not a man at all. He is a myth, a mythical creation of the human mind, of the five physical senses. So what do we have so far in just this little half a page? We know that in the beginning, consciousness formed itself. We know that that which we see with the five physical senses is not that form. It's a mythical creation in the mind. So he gives you an example of forming a concept of God and all that, but I'm going to skip that. Well, there's one important part. He says, if you would know anybody, anyone, you need to disregard everything you've ever heard or thought, every concept, every opinion, and you must go within and say, Father, I'm willing to start all over. Show me this man as he is. And if you did that, the eye of him would be born in you immaculately. So, again, something is needed so that we can see past or see through material forms to the one incorporeal consciousness formed. And so he says, the world that we see, hear, taste, touch, smell is the world the Master overcame, but it is not a real world. And so as you look out here and you see that Palestine and Israel are fighting and killing each other, you must know that it is not a real world. It is a world formed by sense impressions. So it is that this world of the second chapter of Genesis, the world of a man created out of dust, woman created out of a rib, and children created from the union of man and woman, this is not a world. This is a dream. This is the world of sense impressions, beliefs, and theories, which exists only as a mental concept. Again, the world that we can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is not under the law of God. And yet, this very world that we are living in is under the law of God when we see through the appearance to reality. So again, I say to you, in the beginning, consciousness was formed. But the form was invisible. The form was incorporeal. The form was eternal. The form was immortal. Form was divine. Consciousness formed. But we don't see that. With the senses, we see a dream. And yet, the very world you're living in is transformed when you see through the appearance to reality, to this underlying infinite, eternal, incorporeal form called consciousness. So now how do you do that? In this world created by the senses, the unreal world of mental images, we are deceived by appearances because in this world, unlike in my kingdom, we are faced always with the pairs of opposites. Everything has its opposite. Up, down, health, sickness, life, death, wealth, poverty, good, evil, purity, sin, white, black, male, female, gain, loss. There is nothing in the world of sense that does not have its opposite. And if we analyze human experience, we will see that life is just a continuous effort to change one of the pairs of opposites into the other. We've mentioned that before. We are always trying to change sickness into health, lack into abundance, sin into purity, or evil into good, knowing that even if we attain it, tomorrow it can be reversed again. The reason for this is clear. There is no law of God in human activity. If there were, good would be maintained and sustained. So there's no law of God governing the world that you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. Well, that sounds a little bit scary. Because that world is kind of on its own. Because it's not a world, it's a dream. But here, within, when you are still about it, you can perceive consciousness formed, which is called spirit, which is called the presence, which is called light. And that realm is under the law of God. In the kingdom of God, where the law of God operates, we not only do not have all these pairs of opposites, we do not have even one of them. We do not have life any more than we have death. We do not have health any more than we have disease. We do not have abundance any more than we have lack. We do not have good any more than we have evil. None of these things exist in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a spiritual universe, and it has no qualities and it has no quantities. The kingdom of God is the realm of being. But that being is divine being, not good being, because good has its opposite, evil. Not live being, because life has its opposite, death. But being, possessing no degrees, amounts, quantities, or qualities. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. In this world of the senses, there is good and evil. And there is the centering of attention on changing the evil into good. But in my kingdom, the spiritual kingdom, we ignore the appearances and seek to realize spiritual truth, to realize God's grace, to realize God's presence and God's power. The moment we feel a conscious oneness with God, the appearance changes. And so, we know that all there is consciousness formed. It's invisible, it's incorporeal, it's immortal, eternal, omnipresent. But with our eyes and ears, our nose and mouth, our hands, all that we perceive is a fake world. a world that was not created, was not made. Which reminds me of something. In John, he says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So that suggests that there was something made that was not made by him. And what that was this false creation called Earth or humanhood. Now, it's not a creation out here. He's going to explain that. It's a creation in here. Mental concepts. So the moment that you have a glimpse of the real creation, consciousness formed, the appearance, the concepts dissolve. It all takes place within you. To our human sense, the evil appearance now has a good appearance. The appearance of lack has an abundant appearance. The sick appearance has a well appearance. Sometimes even the dead appearance has a live appearance. But we are not fooled by the appearance, the changed appearance. We know that in seeking the kingdom of God within, we are merely beholding reality appearing, the grace of God appearing. We come face to face with God, or consciousness formed. We see him as he is, and we are satisfied with that likeness. To understand the illusory nature of the finite world is to grasp the kernel of all mystical teaching. But, however, if it is misunderstood, it can act as a deterrent to progress, as it has in India, which has one of the noblest spiritual heritages of any nation on earth. Now, I told you about my friend Dilip, who lives in Florida. He's from India, and his wife used to have a hard time with him. I haven't been in touch for quite a while, but she complained that he would get drunk all the time. And when I talked to him, he said, this world is an illusion, so why bother? He did not know what Joel's saying here, that it's not the world that's an illusion, it's our concepts about it. And he had that do-nothing attitude. Why bother? Let's just party. It's an illusion. That's the misunderstanding he's referring to. Perhaps the greatest of all seers was Gautama the Buddha, whose revelation of absolute truth was so profound that while there are other revelations equal to it, there are none which have surpassed it. Gautama had the full realization of the one eye, which constitutes the consciousness of the universe, or consciousness formed. Now, consciousness formed is not the chair you're sitting in. Consciousness formed is invisible, incorporeal, infinite, omnipresent. And he himself, Gautama, understood and proved that the appearance world is Maya, or illusion. Because of its fruitage, his message spread like wildfire across all of India, but his teaching of Maya was misunderstood, misinterpreted. The belief that the world is an illusion led to a do-nothing attitude, a passive acceptance of the evil conditions in the world. His followers failed to see, I underline this, it is not the world that is illusory. The world is real. The illusion is in the misperception of the eternal, divine, spiritual universe, which is the only universe there is and which is here and now. Once again, I say to you, you're standing in the kingdom, but you're seeing this world. And so you need something. What do you need? You need spiritual discernment. And that's not closing your eyes and thinking these things. No, spiritual discernment is a soul faculty. And for it to function in you, your thinking must come to a stop. Now that's nigh near impossible for most of us. So, we use Joel's technique, and we do contemplate these things, knowing that we still haven't seen or perceived the spiritual realm, consciousness formed. We get to the end of our contemplation, and we're quiet, we're silent. We're still inside. We're calm. We're at peace. Perhaps we're receptive and listening. We can even say, Father, reveal thy kingdom. Reveal consciousness formed. Because of an illusory sense of the universe, he says, the mortal scene appears as mortality with all its errors, whereas it is in reality a divine universe. This world is God's world. It is the temple of the living God, or the temple of God living, consciousness living. But when we see it with finite eyes and ears, what we see and hear is the illusory picture of the reality that is there. The illusion is in the mind that it's falsely seeing the world. The illusion is never out in the world. An illusion cannot be externalized. An illusion is a deceptive state of thought, and it can take place only within a person's mind, not outside it. And so the answer is spiritual discernment. With spiritual discernment, you can discern consciousness formed, the kingdom of God, the realm of God. With spiritual discernment, you can discern the Christ of someone. With spiritual discernment, you can discern consciousness formed right smack dab in the middle of Tel Aviv. Right smack dab in the middle of Palestine. You can discern God's presence. This is the truth. With our human eyesight, we see a world constantly changing. A world made up of young, middle-aged, and old people. Of sick and well, poor and rich, unhappy and happy. All of this is an illusory picture in the human mind. Here's another whopper. But because there is only one human mind, it is an illusory picture in your mind and mine. Such a world has no externalized existence. So everything that you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is taking place in the one human mind, also called world mind, a mind that sees this world. And you and I need to awaken out of that mind into our soul, our silence, our peace, our stillness. And we will behold consciousness formed, the Christ itself living. We will behold the temple of God living. So, how do you awaken? Listen. We are aware of the world through our senses, but what the senses cognize is illusion. An illusion not outside the mind, but in it. So you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, don't you? And I do. We must find a way to trade in intellect, thinking, planning, scheming, plotting, judging by appearances. We must trade that in for a new mind. The mind which was in Christ Jesus. That mind is an entirely different mind. It's a mind that sees through these concepts to the underlying reality that is consciousness formed. To be able to grasp and understand this idea is also to be able to grasp the idea that this illusion cannot be corrected in the outer picture. I call it hanging oranges or hanging apples on someone's tree. You see someone that's down and out and you feel bad for them. Well, the minute you feel bad for them, you're hypnotized, of course, but we won't go into that. You feel bad for them. You want to make it better out here for them. So you go and you prop them up and maybe give them the first month's rent for an apartment, some groceries, some gas money if they still have a car, bus money otherwise. And you say, there you go. Now what happens? Nothing. Perhaps they just go down to the corner store and get a bottle of wine and come back and sit on their couch and drink the wine. Slowly, they run out of money. And a month later, they have no money to pay the rent. They're broke again. You went and hung apples on their tree. And that didn't work. Because they have to have a change of consciousness, a change of perception. You see that? Now, Joel says, this is why so much prayer fails. Through prayer, people are trying to improve the illusion, which if they succeeded in doing, would still be an illusion, except it would be a good illusion instead of a bad one. God is not in this world. Again, that feels kind of scary. Until you recognize and realize and have the inner discernment, you're standing in God. Contrary to the doctrine of pantheism, which teaches that this world is a manifestation of God, that God transforms himself into the world, so that God and the world are the same substance, though the form is different. If this were true, and if the world really were a manifestation of God and made of the substance of God, then the world would be eternal. And there would be no changing process going on. There would be no aging, no dying, and no decaying of either animate or inanimate objects. There would be no seasons if this world were of the substance of God, because it would then be of the substance of eternality and changelessness. And so your car would never run out. You could eat your cake and have it too. Your husband, your wife would never get old. But this world is changing moment by moment. It's dying every minute and every day. So the erroneous assumption in the teaching of pantheism and of much of modern metaphysics is that man is spiritual, that his physical body is spiritual. The trees and flowers are spiritual. This is true of the reality of these, something invisible right behind. Just behind these. But it is not true of the physical manifestation as it is appearing to us through the senses. The substance of the forms we behold is not of that substance which is God. That's what John told us. And once we perceive this, we shall understand the true meaning of the word illusion, which is that our perception of what we behold constitutes the illusion. Now, where is that perception of what you behold? It's really quite fascinating, really. You're standing in consciousness formed. But you're perceiving consciousness formed as a material physical universe. And your perceiving is in the mind. It is not that there is an externalized illusion. You remember him saying in the Kailua Study series, which we're going to look at again, that he was reading a book on the life of Buddha, and he read in there that Buddha said to himself, I must find a way to remove this disease and death and lack from the world. This is that way. This is how you do that. By telling yourself, by reminding yourself, by knowing to your inner core that what you behold is not the real substance of which it is made. It is the substance of mind, the substance of universal mind. And so, although the reality is God, you're seeing the duality of planet Earth without God. So it is not that there is an externalized illusion, it's only that what we behold is not the real substance of which it is made. It is of the substance of mind, the substance of universal mind, world mind, hypnotism, mesmerism, mirage. Theism goes to the opposite extreme. Theism regards God and the world as two distinct substances, each having its own independent existence as a creation of God, yet not made of the same substance as God. How impossible would it be for God, the creative principle, to create anything unlike itself? Anything different in nature and character from itself? Anything other than consciousness? If consciousness is infinite, there's no other substance beyond consciousness, and the world of God's creating must therefore be consciousness formed. Now, I wrote here in the margin, you must have spiritual discernment in order to see consciousness formed. So Joel says, the next question then is, what about this physical universe? The answer to that is the Master's statement, my kingdom is not of this world. This world is the world of the Adamic dream. This is the world of mortal conceptions. This is the world of mental projections. And when we recognize this and are able to close our eyes and realize the I in the midst of us, this body loses its sense of mortality. Even the material universe loses its mortal sense and becomes what God's world really is, harmonious and perfect, consciousness formed. Now, here's something else in here that I saw. The truth is that God is spirit, consciousness, and therefore all that really exists is God formed, God in manifestation, or consciousness formed, or spirit formed. So, consciousness and spirit are, I believe, interchangeable. They're the same thing. Spirit is the early civilization way of saying consciousness. But maybe they didn't have that word yet, I don't know. So John says in Revelation, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was telling us, I was in consciousness on the Lord's day, and this is what I saw. The world that we cognize with the five physical senses is not the world of God's creating. It is the finite sense of the world, which universal mind has created. With our mind, we cannot discern the world of God's creating. So with your mind, whatever you do with your mind, you cannot discern consciousness formed. You can only discern with your mind. The mind can only see the five physical senses and what they report. And they report the opposites. They report war. They report beauty. They report ugly. They report male, they report female, they report lover, they report enemy. Something else is needed deeper than mind. So with our mind, we cannot discern the world of God's creating or consciousness formed. We do not see God's kingdom. We see only the human limited finite concept or mental image, only the physical concept of the spiritual universe. So you're seeing a physical concept of consciousness formed. You want to see consciousness formed, because when you see it and you rest in it, it appears. And you say, or someone that called you says, I'm all better now. But it's more of consciousness formed appearing to you and to whoever reached out to you. It takes spiritual discernment to know the things of God. So if you would see consciousness formed and rest in it, you need this thing called spiritual discernment. Let us not look at this visible world and call it spiritual. But on the other hand, let us not look on it and call it a creation apart from God. Let us cleave to the middle path, which leads to our inner spiritual center, where we are the Christ of God, and where we can see that we are one with the Father. We can see consciousness formed. Again, he says, no human being can look upon physicality with his mentality and detect anything Christ-like. All the human mind can be aware of is a physical body, and with it probably a personality. Only inner discernment, inner light, inner vision that beholds something the eye does not see and the ear does not hear can discern the Christ in any person. So, when the Master asked, having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? He was referring to an inner vision. He was referring to an inner hearing, which we call spiritual discernment, or Christ consciousness. Only the Christ can recognize the Christ. Now that's an important line. I remember Herb saying that the first time I heard it. Only Christ can recognize Christ. So, Christ consciousness is spiritual discernment. And you have to be in spiritual discernment to see the kingdom of God. Consciousness formed. You must be standing in Christ to behold Christ. When we understand this, we will never look at a human being, a human form, and declare, you are well, you are healthy, you are young, you are spiritual. We would never do that. But if we could look through the appearance of the senses to the Christ of God, the Christ ever present, although not apparent to our human eyesight, If we could do that, we would be able to break the mesmerism, the hypnotism, the illusion that looks at the body with the mind and believes the evidence of what it sees, hears, tastes, touches, and smells. And in breaking the mesmerism, the hypnotism, we would be able, through our inner discernment, to behold the spiritual nature even of a dying or sinful person. This is the difference between the infinite way and such teachings as pantheism and theism. And that is what makes it possible for healing work to be carried on in this teaching. In our spiritual work, we are not deluding ourselves with the idea that this physicality that is wasting away with disease and death is spiritual. Nor are we trying to spiritualize it and make it perfect. We are looking through the appearance with inner spiritual discernment, and there beholding the invisible spiritual child of God, who was never born and will never die, eternal, right here on earth. Now that's the fourth time or fifth time he's mentioned spiritual discernment. That is the key that opens the kingdom. And so I give you the keys to the kingdom. All you need is to find a way to become still, to reach the silence, to reach the peace that passes your understanding. And there, while resting there, Father, reveal thyself, reveal consciousness formed, and then be still. Stand still and see consciousness formed. Miracles can be performed by the person who does not try to heal disease, and who understands that he is but the instrument of God, that God constitutes individual being, and that any appearance to the contrary is illusory, a picture in the mind, without spiritual substance, spiritual cause, spiritual law, and without spiritual entity or identity. It's maya, illusion, hypnotism, mirage, mesmerism, and it's only in the mind. On the spiritual path, we do not try to change the external world. Now let's go over here to the New Horizon. He says, above or behind this sense life, there is a universe of spirit or consciousness, governed by love and peopled with children of God, living in the household or temple of truth. This world is real and permanent. Its substance is eternal consciousness. In it, there is no awareness of discords or even of temporary material good. With the realization that the entire human scene, its good as well as its evil, is illusion. Now, you're not looking out there and saying, this world is illusion. You're in here, you're in your inner temple, and you're realizing the entire human scene that I'm seeing, good and bad, is illusion. And with that realization comes the first glimpse and taste of the world of God's creation, or consciousness formed, and of the sons of God who inhabit the spiritual kingdom. Now, he says on the next couple of pages, Let's see. Actually, on the last page, I guess. Nope. Yeah, here it is. It says, the experience, this is beholding consciousness formed, at first is like watching the world disappear over a horizon and drop down from before us. There's no attachment to this world and no desire to hold on to it, probably because, to a great extent, the experience does not come until a great measure of our desire for the things of this world has been overcome. So, what does that mean? That means that you won't see consciousness formed. You'll just see these concepts in your mind until you reach the place where you no longer are trying to heal, fix, improve anything that your mind is showing you about this world. However, when you stop that, you catch a glimpse of God as is, consciousness formed. You have the mind which was in Christ Jesus, and then the healing follows. Okay. We recognize that the very omnipresence, omnipotence, and omniscience of God within our own being make it impossible for sin, disease, death, lack, and limitation to exist as externalized reality. These can exist only in the mortal dream, which consists of the belief in two powers. As that belief in two powers is surrendered, so is the dream punctured. So, in your contemplation, you contemplate this idea of one presence, one life, one mind, one soul, one spirit, one consciousness, one being, and I am that, or something along those lines. And in that way, you settle down and you surrender the belief in two powers, and the dream is punctured, and you catch a glimpse of consciousness formed right where you are. Living in the fourth dimensional consciousness, we seek nothing from the dream. To seek supply, companionship, a home, employment, is to seek an improved dream, an improved illusion. We seek nothing of this world. We seek only the realization of our oneness with God. Whatever is to come forth into expression must come forth from deep within, even though it still comes in ways that appear to be external. This should tell you something else. This should tell you there is no external world to you. You are one with the kingdom of heaven. All that I have is thine. My creation, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. And so you're standing in yourself. But the five senses report a second self, a self that is aging, self that is sick, a self that is dying, a self that is lonely, That's not a self at all. It's an illusion. It's hypnotism. It's mesmerism. It's Maya. It's a mirage. And it must be met in your consciousness so that you can awaken to who you are and where you're standing. You are consciousness formed. Again, when enlightenment, let's see. Yeah, as we lead the spiritual life, looking to no man, seeking nothing in the outer plane, but living in continual rapport with the life stream, our experience will unfold as the fruit appears on a tree, as an externalization of an inward grace. When enlightenment has been attained, the temporal picture is recognized for what it is, Maya or illusion. Then, when we are faced with evil people, evil or erroneous conditions, we will not fight them or try to get God to do something to them or for them. We will relax, knowing that this is the hypnotism of the five senses. When we awaken from beholding this mortal dream as if it were reality, we will see one another as we are. And then we will love our neighbor as ourselves because we will discover that our neighbor is ourself. Now, all this is apparent to us not through knowledge, not because we have learned a little more truth, but because we have developed a deeper inner spiritual discernment, spiritual awareness, and are able now to perceive the Christ. The object of the infinite way is to develop spiritual consciousness, not to produce health or wealth. These are the added things, and those who catch even a grain of spiritual perception are showing forth health, prosperity, and happiness. But this is not the goal. The goal is attaining the spiritual vision or spiritual discernment so that we can behold God's universe, consciousness formed, and can commune with Him, walk and talk with Him, live with Him, and learn to live with one another. Spiritual companionship is achieved not because we're studying the same books, but because we are one in Christ, one in consciousness, one in God. Only through our being united in a spiritual bond, owing to our having attained some measure of spiritual light, spiritual discernment, do we find companionship with people of any country or any religious conviction. There are no barriers once we have perceived the nature of true being. Being has no nationality, no race, and no religion. The reality of our being is God, consciousness formed. The nature of our being is Christ. And when we are able to discern that being through inner spiritual vision, we have a relationship that is eternal. Eternal on earth and eternal forever afterward. If we look out at life through spiritual discernment, there it is again, that's number 5, we are convinced that God is infinite and that there never has been an evil power, a negative power, or a mortal power. That heightened vision heals sickness, changes sin to purity, insanity to sanity, and death to life. The attaining of some measure of this spiritual discernment is enough. It is an awareness that reveals that God is spirit or consciousness. that all that really exists must be consciousness-formed, and that all the power there is, all the law there is, and all the life there is must be spiritual. Now, there will never be any confirmation of this through our eyes, because spirit, consciousness, formed, cannot be seen with the eyes. The eyes must be closed to the object of sense, so that we can inwardly behold God's creation or consciousness formed. The development of spiritual consciousness is the greatest attainment there is. Only in the degree of this attained consciousness are we able to see the spiritual forms of God's creating. It is a matter of attaining a depth of inner discernment or awareness, an awareness that expresses itself not so much in words as in feelings. So this chapter, how does this relate to the nature of error? Well, it's showing you through another several examples that the world that you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is not a world. It's a mental series of concepts. Millions of concepts, maybe trillions or gazillions. I don't know what the next one is after trillions. Quintillions or something. Lots and lots of concepts. That's what we see. But that's not what's there. What's there is God, spirit, consciousness formed. How do we see that? Well, we must recognize what we just said. This is hypnotism. This is illusion. Father, reveal consciousness formed. Reveal thyself. Reveal thy presence. Thank you, Father. Then I simply commune with it. There's nothing else to say. Thank you, Father. And it's so lovely. Consciousness formed. And then when I open my eyes and I go about my business, my life shows forth harmony and peace and love and health and supply and light, because I have communed with consciousness, spirit, God, and then I see it appearing as form. Now, the good form doesn't fool me. I know it's still an appearance. But I also know that behind that, that presence I felt, is consciousness formed as that presence. That's what I'm standing in. Yes, thank you, Father, for this realization. And thank you, people, for pulling this talk out. And I will talk to you again soon. God bless you.